All right, let's go over chapter 4, homework, page 178, carbohydrates chapter.
Speaking of carbs.
All right.
Ketogenic.
All right. So we're starting off with our question number one on page 178. Describe the difference between starch and fiber. So what is the difference between starch and fiber?
One can be digested, the other cannot be digested.
Okay, so one can be digested by humans, and one cannot be digested by humans. Okay. What else? Why?
Chain's too long.
Chain's too long?
Too many, yeah, it's just too complex, if that's not it.
No, what's the unique characteristic that separates starch and fiber on a molecular scale?
The antinutrient, the surrounded, like the little germ,
what's called? No, so just between fiber or cellulose and starch, which is like amylose.
Maybe I misread it, because that's what I thought you were talking about, the chains there. They're both complex, but I'm in,
yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you're kind of right there. You're just missing the wrong. Maybe you're saying the wrong word. What's the difference between cellulose and amylose, or starch and fiber, on a cellular level or molecular level?
Well, we don't have the answer.
All I wrote was one is digestible,
one's digestible, one's not. Yeah, that's pretty much all you really need to know in as far as with your clients sort of thing. But what's the real reason why one's digestible and one's not?
Enzyme issue?
Enzyme issue? Yeah, I mean, you could say it's an enzyme issue because we don't have cellulase, which cows and horses do.
To be absorbed in the small
not the size of the molecule. Kind of.
So amylose is made up of long unbranched chains of glucose molecules or
amylopectin.
Yeah.
Well, those are both two different forms of starch, which are digestible. So cellulose is not digestible. Why? Remember, it's just glucose molecules stuck together, right? That's all cellulose is. That's all fiber is. So why is it not digestible? Think about it. We have hay. We have grass. Why can we not digest the fiber in those?
Well, because we don't have it. Okay, it's going back.
We don't produce enzyme or something.
We don't have the enzyme, cellulase. But what does cellulase do?
I feel like you told us this already.
I did.
It converts it into glucose or something like that. Makes it.
How does it convert it into glucose? All right, let's open to page, here we go.
It's not a good sign. We're fucking up, guys.
Open to page 156, bottom left. So what's the difference between those two molecules right there?
Alpha and beta bonds.
There we go, okay. So the reason why we cannot digest cellulose is because the bonds between the glucose molecules are extremely strong, and we would need the enzyme cellulase to break that bond. Starch is connected with alpha bonds. Cellulose or fiber is connected with beta bonds, which we do not have the enzyme to digest the beta bond. But what animals do?
Cows and shit like that.
Cows, horses, most primates do. Okay. If we were meant to eat a vegetarian diet, we would probably have cellulase, right?
So when people take like fiber pills and stuff like that, how do they get the
fiber pills are just they push poop through your system. It's about the biggest reason why someone would supplement with fiber. There's really not many other uses for fiber.
What do you look at me when you talk like that?
I mean, I see your poop, all right, no. so maybe if you're, like, if you want to be regular, like Art said, taking or having fiber in your diet could be important to just keep things moving through, you know. As fiber or cellulose, as it gets into your system, can't be broken down at any point during the digestive system, so it basically stays thicker, stringy substance and kind of goes through your system, collecting stuff and dragging stuff along and moving it out the poop chute. Okay. So, you know, people, the government highlights this fiber issue as if it's like this super, super important nutrient, and you're going to be healthy or you're going to be unhealthy if you don't have it. That's not necessarily true. Do we need fiber to push our poop through?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
All by myself, thank you.
What types of ancestral diets or what type of groups might not have almost any fiber in their diet? What?
Paleolithic era?
No, they have a ton of fiber because remember, they do eat vegetable matter. But they're like, we'll say climate wise, what type of people might not eat any fiber?
Eskimo.
Eskimo, yeah, Inuit. The northern people that lived in like Alaska and Canada, northern Canada, and lived off of pretty much just the sea. They would have some seaweed stuff, which does get a little bit of fiber, but most of the time they were mainly focused on just seal, fish, and which has zero fiber. Yeah, whale blubber, like the very, very, very little fiber. And were they any less healthy?
They make ice cream out of that stuff.
Do they?
Yeah.
I like whales. okay, so yeah, whenever somebody's like talking about why fiber is so healthy, you could just say, well, I mean, it's good for moving your increasing intestinal motility or increasing things and pushing it through your digestive system. Does it actually provide nutrients? No. So does that make it like a super, super important, crazy, I need to have it thing? No. I want you guys to try having zero fiber for a week and see what happens. Nothing. Your poop might change a little bit of form. Might be a little harder. But does that mean you aren't going to be able to pass your poop? No. For 2 straight weeks, I ate eggs and meat, almost pretty much zero fiber. And did anything happen? Did I feel any less healthy? No. So it's not essential. It's not... basically, what I'm trying to say is that when the government's like, oh, yeah, you need to have your whole grains to get your fiber. Well, first off, I don't need fiber that much. I mean, okay, cool, 25 grams. I could get that from almost 2 bananas. Or just 1 sweet potato. Not quite, but... you need a lunchbox. We're all going to pitch in and get you a lunchbox.
That's the most obnoxious bag. It's like the thick plastic one.
Yeah, it's the one.
Okay, so, yeah, when people talk, ask you about fiber and its importance, and, well, don't I need fiber? What if I don't eat whole grains, I'm not going to get my fiber. It's like, well, actually, you could get way more fiber from fruits and vegetables. Well then, what? Yeah, okay. And then basically the way that you would describe that is actually fiber is not even that essential. But the main thing that separates the difference between digestible glucose or glucose maltose from starch is the bonds that create or that create or that connect the glucose molecules is a difference between an alpha bond and a beta bond. Beta bond is going to be impervious to human enzyme digestion, impervious to digestion. All right, number 2. How will eating excessive amounts of carbohydrate affect health? I don't even know why they asked this question. They're just trying to pat themselves on the back. How will it affect health? And I don't even know what they mean by excessive. Anybody answer this one? How'd you answer this one?
Too many carbs will almost always lead to obesity, diabetes, and death. I don't care if you got that wrong.
So what do you think there, when someone from the government asks this question, what do you think? What's the best answer?
There is no such thing as too much carbs. Where's my coke?
Probably the best, go ahead.
I was going to say insulin response.
So yeah, from my lecture, yes, you can say too many carbs is not necessarily a good thing. The best way that the government will want you to answer this is saying that excess intake of any nutrient would lead to weight gain. It's a simple, safe way to answer that question. So if you excessively intake any nutrient, it will lead to weight gain.
So this is the moderation?
Yeah, so in moderation. If they're, when I read that, I see excessive, and I think they're highlighting that excessive word. So therefore, excessive intake would lead to excess calories leading to weight gain.
Could you say over-nutrition?
Yeah, over-nutrition. Yeah, that's fine. So those, that's a very safe way to discuss that with a government-recommended nutrition follower.
That's for fat and protein, too.
Yeah, fat, protein, carbs, it doesn't matter. It's all calories, guys. It's all calories. So if you eat too many of any calories, it means you're going to gain weight. Okay, number three. What are the consequences of eating too little carbohydrate? Here, you should be able to find this in the book. What do we get?
Ketosis.
Ketosis might be instilled or input if you don't eat enough carbohydrates. And is ketosis good?
According to
the government standards, no, ketosis is a bad thing and it'll lead to ketoacidosis, which isn't true, but yeah, you have to... K-E-T-O. So ketosis is the point at which you don't have enough carbohydrates in your system to function from carbohydrates, so you switch to fat as a fuel source, and fat as a fuel source when used for energy typically is done in the form of ketone bodies, which is therefore ketosis. So let's say, yeah, actually everyone wakes up typically every morning in the state of ketosis until you get that first carbohydrate intake. Even if you ate a ton of carbohydrates the night before, your body's done dealing with them by the time you wake up eight to 10 hours later, and you have, almost everyone wakes up in a state of ketosis. So that's what...
Stored
carbohydrates?
Yeah.
I mean, just because your body... Remember, when you sleep... Your body functions from fat as a fuel source. This is why eating a shit ton of carbohydrates before bed isn't the best idea, because your body isn't active. Remember, carbohydrates are for energy. When you're doing zero activity, carbohydrates typically don't like to be used as a fuel source because they don't need to be used as a fuel source. Fat will typically be turned on. That makes sense?
Sort of.
Okay. It tells you that I eat a ton of carbs before bed, and I don't gain weight, but that's probably because I did a lot of activity earlier in the day, leading to carbohydrate replenishment in my muscles and liver. If that makes sense. Okay. Number four, list the benefits of eating more fiber. What are the consequences of eating too much or too little? So what are the benefits of eating more fiber?
Quicker digestion.
Yeah, quicker digestion, intestinal motility. Anybody find anything else on that?
Saturation.
Yeah, okay, good. It'll add bulk to the diet, make you feel fuller, okay, for longer, slow the digestive process, maybe potentially decreasing the glycemic index of a food, or an insulin response maybe. What else? Actually, that's pretty much mostly what I go to and what's recommended. What are the consequences of eating too much fiber? What might happen? You might get a little gassy sometimes, yeah. Potentially, depending on how your bacteria is in your gut. What else?
Kind of like cramps.
What did you say? Shut it.
Constipation.
Potential constipation and or the opposite, depending on how your body responds. You could get diarrhea, or you could get constipation from too much fiber kind of backing up your system in a way. And what are the consequences from eating too little fiber? Actually, the exact same thing, which would be might be constipation or might be diarrhea, depending on how your body responds. Okay, number five. Which foods contain carbohydrates? Grains, legumes, vegetables, fruits.
Some dairy.
Some dairy. Good. And then obviously a lot of processed carbohydrates can be made, processed sugars, sodas, all that processed foods typically contain carbohydrates, right? Yeah. Good. That's such a bland, broad statement. Question. Okay. Number six. What advantage does the branch chain structure of glycogen provide compared with a straight chain of glucose or starch? Yeah, what's a branch chain with glycogen? What? Why is that? Why might that? Why might that be beneficial?
It's in it, like, so you can store it, and then whenever you need energy, the enzymes come and break off.
Yes, but what did anybody find this in the book? Who found it in the book? Number 6.
I found the same thing.
Okay.
It makes it easier to store.
Easier to store.
Readily available.
And then more quickly broken down to be released back into the bloodstream or used in the muscle, we'll say. So the ability to store something that's kind of spread out is more compact as opposed to long strings of it. Glycogen, the reason why it's called glycogen is because it's a different molecular structure than starch, and it's easier to store as well as easier to release for fuel. Number 7, which blood glucose regulation hormone is secreted in the recently fed state?
Insulin.
So when you're recently fed, yes, insulin would be secreted into the blood to do what to blood sugar?
Decrease blood sugar,
yeah.
Allowing it to go, by decreasing it though.
It takes it out of the blood and puts it into cells. Yeah. Good. A fasting state, well, what might happen? Or what hormone? Glucagon, good. And what does glucagon do?
Increases
blood sugar. How?
Helps it
from the cell.
Releases it, not from the cell.
No, from the liver.
From the liver, good. Yeah, from the liver. Glucagon acts on the stored glycogen in the liver, leading to increased blood sugar because the liver will release the glycogen in, or glucose molecules into the blood. Okay, number 8. Describe the structure of a monosaccharide. Tell me about it. Simple sugar, meaning one sugar molecule, glucose, fructose, galactose, good. And is it how many carbs are in all the sugars? How many carbon atoms are in sugar?
Six
carbon atoms, good. Yes, six carbon atoms. What's the molecular structure of a C6H12O6. Good. Okay, cool.
You don't need to know that?
Yeah, I want you to know that just for the field. I don't think they'll ask it on the test, but it's just kind of, just throwing a little chemistry at someone never hurt with value building, so.
C6H12O6.
Yeah. Okay, describe the structure of a monosaccharide. Now describe the structure of a disaccharide. Two molecules stuck together. What are the names of the three disaccharides?
Maltose, sucrose, and lactose.
Good, okay. Maltose is two glucoses. Sucrose is one fructose, one glucose. And lactose is one galactose, one glucose. Okay. Hopefully you guys can remember your mono and disaccharides. All right. Number 8. Polysaccharides now. What's a polysaccharide?
It's just a chain of disaccharides.
It's a chain of mono or disaccharides just in a longer than 3 chain, or longer than 2 chain. Some polysaccharides could be like oligosaccharides from like breast milk, or starches, as well as the two different types of starch. Amylopectin and amylose. And then you have your cellulose, can also be considered a polysaccharide. Okay, good. Number 9, in an effort to lose weight, you decide to follow a diet that is 1,200 calories with 225 grams of carbohydrates. Calculate the percentage of carbohydrate in this diet and compare this amount to the daily value recommendations. What do we got? A little math. 75%
of your daily intake
would be from carbohydrates, and
the worst possible thing you could ever do.
Compare this amount to the recommendations for carbohydrates. What's the recommended carbohydrates per day?
65%.
Good, 45 to 65. 65 being the upper end. If you were eating 75%, that'd be over the recommended daily amount. Then it says daily value recommendations for carbohydrates are 300 grams per day. Compare this amount to the recommendation for the overall percentage of carbohydrate, which is 40 5 to 65% of total daily calories. Are we still talking about a 1,200 calorie diet? It doesn't entail, but let's assume we are. That would be 100% of daily calories, which is very unhealthy. Because you need fat. It's there's essential fats and there's essential proteins. Is there such thing as essential carbohydrate? No, there's not. Meaning that you can live without carbohydrates forever. Little Sandlot quote for you right there. Forever.
Best movie ever.
Best movie ever? All right. Now I know what to quote from here on out. All right. So 300 grams per day on a 2,000 calorie diet. What's the percentage? 300 grams would be in 300 grams of carbohydrates?
1,200.
So what percentage of 2,000 is 1,200?
A little over 50%, maybe 55 to
60%. 60%. Is that within the recommendations?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. If you don't do any activity all day long, and you just typically sit, go to work, and don't do any exercise, do you need 300 grams of carbohydrates?
No.
No. All right. Because remember, carbohydrates are only used for energy or stored energy. So if you aren't being very active, increasing your carbohydrates to 300 grams a day is probably going to lead to a consistent little bit of fat gain. Because you don't use those carbohydrates.
Basically over-nutrition, which is what we're
Well, it's not over-nutrition if you're in the caloric balance according to the government. If that makes sense.
So you could still...
According to the government, that's fine. I'm just saying from my perspective, 300 grams of carbohydrates is too much for a sedentary person. Even if they're burning too much.
So if you're eating over the recommended daily amount of that specific macronutrient... It's still not considered overnutrition because you're not consuming your total daily.
Total, yeah. I think they think overnutrition is more caloric totals.
Nothing to do with...
Not individual macros, no.
One macronutrient consumed 2,000 calories of just that one, and that's not overnutrition.
Well, it depends which way you look at it. If you look at it as overnutrition being too many calories, then no, you're correct. You're correct. If you look at overnutrition being... too much of one macronutrient, then that could be overnutrition of that one macronutrient. But then it'd be undernutrition of the others.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't even worry about it. Like just throw overnutrition, undernutrition out the door.
I think it was like three versions of the two.
Yeah. It just gets confusing. It's like, hey, eat a balanced diet from a whole.
So I don't need to like memorize.
No. They won't ask you about over undernutrition.